Okay, let's get cracking. Today we're going to be starting the 11th parak of Maseches Trumos. Today we're going to be learning Parak Yud Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and Parak Yud Aleph, Mishnah Beis. Parak Yud Aleph, Mishnah Aleph is going to be discussing the prohibition to destroy or waste any semblance of Truma. You're not allowed to destroy, you're not allowed to waste, you can only eat it like we discussed previously in the typical manner. Says the Mishnah, Ein nosnim devela ugrogros lesoch hamurios. You're not allowed to put either pressed figs or dried figs into fish fat. People would often do that in order to sort of flavor the juices of the figs, can flavor the fish fat in a nice way. Why can't you do this? Mipnei shehu me'abdan. Because ultimately you're going to be destroying these figs, that once the figs release their flavor, typically the figs would be destroyed, the figs would be discarded, and because they're truma figs, you're not allowed to do that. So you can't put these figs inside the fish fat, because then you're going to end up destroying those figs, which you're not allowed to do. Aval says the Mishnah, but nosnim es hayayin lemurias, but you can put truma wine into the fish fat, because at the end of the day, the wine's going to be consumed, the wine's going to be eaten with the fish fat, and certainly as long as you're going to still be eating the truma, again, we're talking about a kohen over here, as long as the kohen's going to be eating the truma, it is perfectly permissible to put the wine in the fish fat. Continues the Mishnah, ve'ein mefatmin es hashemen, and you can't perfume the truma oil. You want to make it smell a little bit nicer. The reason why you can't do that is because at the end of the day, the spices that are going to, they're going to absorb some of the truma oil, and eventually those spices are going to be thrown away. And once again, you're not allowed to throw away any parts of the truma. And because some of the oil is going to get absorbed in the spices, and then you're going to throw away those spices, it's as if you're throwing away some truma. Aval says the Mishnah, but osim es hayayin yeinomlin, but you may make the wine into yeinomlin, which is like a type of a spiced wine, that even though we said that you can't perfume the truma oil, that's because you're going to end up throwing away some of those spices. But here, when you make the wine into this spiced wine, you're going to be consuming the spices with the wine, so even though the spices ultimately absorb some of the wine, it's still permitted to make the truma wine into this spiced wine, because it's all going to be consumed, it's all going to be eaten by a kohen, none of it's going to be discarded, none of it's going to be destroyed. Now we're going to continue with a machlokas in our Mishnah regarding cooking wine. Says the Mishnah, Ein mevashlim yayin shel truma. You're not allowed to cook the wine of truma, mipnei shehu mamito, because by cooking it, you are decreasing its size. You are limiting it. Some of the wine ultimately evaporates when you're cooking it. And therefore, says the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to cook wine of truma, because then you were sort of destroying and being ma'abed some of that truma wine. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda matir. However, Rabbi Yehuda permits you to cook wine of truma, mipnei shehu mashbicho, because you are improving, because you are benefiting the wine, even though you're destroying some of it, it's in order to benefit it. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, you are allowed to do that. However, says the Bar Tanur of Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like the Tanakama. Namely, when it comes to wine of truma, you're not allowed to cook it, because you're going to be ma'abed it, you're going to be destroying some of it, losing some of it, discarding some of it, which you are not allowed to do when some of the wine evaporates through the cooking process. Now we're going to continue in Parak Yud Aleph, Mishnah Beis, as we discuss the status of some of the juices that are found in various fruits. Says the Mishnah, Devash Temarim, when it comes to the honey of truma dates, the yayin tapuchim, or the cider of truma apples, the chometz sitvanios, or the vinegar found in truma winter grapes, ushar kol me peiros shel truma, or when it comes to any other juices of truma fruit. So all of these are truma fruits, and there's juice inside of it. So the question is, if someone who's not a kohen consumes, drinks, eats any of these juices, what is the status? What does he have to pay if a non-kohen were to eat them? Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev, Karen V'chomesh, Rabbi Eliezer says that he would be obligated to pay a keren v'chomesh. He'd be obligated to pay, like we learned previously, the keren, the principal, the value of that which he drank, of that which he stole from the kohen, because this was truma, and he has to pay the chomesh, and he has to pay an additional 25% as well. That's what we said, whenever you were to eat anything from truma, from the kohanim, and you're not a kohen, you would have to pay keren v'chomesh. But that's assuming, Rabbi Eliezer is assuming, that the juices of the fruit have the same status as the fruits themselves. However, Rabbi Yehoshua Poter, Rabbi Yehoshua exempts you from paying the chomesh. He has to pay the karen because he didn't drink something that belonged to the kohen, so he has to pay back the principal that he stole, that he ate. But he does not have to pay back the chomesh. He does not have to pay back the additional 25% because that additional chomesh is really a kenas. It's a punishment for someone who ate something that was totally and completely truma. But according to Rabbi Yehoshua, the juices are a more lenient form of truma. They're not the same thing as the fruits themselves, and therefore Rabbi Yehoshua says that you only have to pay the keren, the principal of that which you stole, that which you drank, not the chomesh, not the additional 25%. And as the Bar Tanura points out later on, we paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua. Continuing now with a discussion in a machlokas regarding the same juices, but in the context of Tumah v'Tahara, the question is going to be, do these juices, these fruit juices, have the status, have the ability to be matami something, to make something Tumah, to transmit Tumah? Like we discussed previously, the Mishnah Maseches Machshirin describes that there are different types of liquids, that if something comes into contact with them, only then can something become Tumah. So the question is, do these fruit juices have the potential to make something become tameh or not? So Rabbi Eliezer, metame mishumashka, Rabbi Eliezer says that these fruit juices do have the ability to make something tameh, to transmit tumah both to them and to allow them to become tameh if they come into contact with any of these liquids. Mishumashka, because these are beverages, these are liquids that have the ability to make something tameh according to Rabbi Eliezer. However, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yeshua responds and he disagrees and says, Lo manu chachamim, shiva mashkim kimone patamim. That the chachamim, says Rabbi Yeshua, didn't just write seven liquids in the Mishnah, Maseches Machshirin, in Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet, it goes through and describes seven different liquids, seven different mashkim, that have the potential and ability to be matami, to make something tame, and to give it the potential to become tame itself. So says Rabbi Yehoshua, the Chacham didn't just list those seven things like a peddler's listing spices. It wasn't random. It wasn't just nonchalant. They listed these seven things. What were the seven things? What are the seven liquids? Dew, water, wine, oil, blood, milk, and bees' honey. Those are the seven types of liquids that have the ability to be metame, as per the Mishnah in Maseches Machshirin. So Rabbi Yeshua says that the Mishnah listed seven things, didn't just list it randomly. Ela amru, rather the Mishnah said, shiva mashkin tameh. There are seven specific liquids that have the ability to transmit tumah and allow something to become tameh. Usharka lamashkin tahor, and all other liquids, all other types of drinks do not have the same potential. So Rabbi Yehoshua, and the Bar Tanur points out, we paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua, disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer and says, no, that these various fruit juices do not have the potential and ability to metame something else. Quick review, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Aleph began teaching us the halacha of destroying truma. Discussed the case of pressed figs and dried figs and said that you're not allowed to put them into fish fat because they're ultimately going to be thrown out. The figs are going to be destroyed, which you're not allowed to do. But he said that you're allowed to put wine in the fish fat because the wine's going to be consumed with the fish fat. And as long as the wine's going to be drunk and consumed by a kohen, it is totally permissible. And then we said that you're not allowed to perfume the truma, the oil, because though there too, the spices are going to absorb some of the oil. And when you throw out the spices, you're throwing out truma. But the Mishnah said that you are allowed to make wine into this type of spice wine, this yenomlin, because there too, the wine's going to be consumed with the spices. So even if the spices are consuming some of the wine, they're all being consumed by a kohen, and therefore you're not destroying anything, and it's perfectly permitted. Then there was a machlokas in the Mishnah regarding whether you're allowed to cook wine of truma or not. According to the Tanakhama, you are not allowed to do that because you're going to be limiting and destroying some of it. Some of it's going to evaporate through the cooking process, but we paskin that way that you are not allowed to cook wine. That is truma. Rabbi Huda disagrees that you are allowed to because you're improving it, even if you're destroying some of it. But again, we don't paskin like that. And then Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Beis, discussed the status of various fruit juices. And we said there's a machlokas, number one, if a non-kohen eats the juice of truma, a fruit, whether it's the the honey of truma dates, or the cider of truma apples, the vinegar of truma winter grapes, and so on, any other type of juice. So Rabbi Lezer said that you have to pay karen v'chomesh, you have to pay the principal plus 25%, just like any other situation where a person is consuming truma. Rabbi Yeshua disagreed and said no, that you're totally potter, because the juices are on a lower level than the fruits themselves. And then the Mishnah concluded with a machlokas regarding whether or not these fruit juices have the ability to be metame, to make something tuma, to make something tame. Rabbi Lezer said that they are additional to the Mishnah Maseches Machshir, and that they do have the ability to be metame something, whereas Rabbi Yeshua disagreed and said no, that when the Mishnah Maseches Machshir in Perek Vav Mishnah Dal describes the seven liquids that have the ability to make something tame, those are the only liquids that have the ability to do so, and the fruit juices are tahor, are pure, do not have the ability to make something tame. Have a great day.